Welcome to Rock Solid Devotional, a moment to start your day.
A call to be holy. 1 Peter 1, 13-25. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. There are two sides of the coin of our salvation. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. The only thing we contribute to our salvation is our sin, the mess needing to be cleaned up, the spiritually dead corpse that needs to be raised from the dead. But raised to new life in what way? In what context? And for what purpose? The other side of the coin is that we are saved to new life, a resurrected life, a life that no longer lives for the passions of our flesh and the world, but rather a life that lives to reflect the holiness of the God who saved us. In fact, ransomed us, purchased us with what is more precious than anything else in the world, the precious blood of Christ. I have often heard this saying, everyone deserves a second chance. I'm not sure I agree with that. For every action, there is a just outcome or consequence for that action. When we make a good choice, it's reasonable that we get a good outcome. When someone gets a negative outcome from a good choice, we say they didn't deserve that. So why do we say someone deserves a second chance when they make a bad choice? We could get our heads really spinning around this, but my point is that we don't miss the immeasurable wonder of being ransomed, purchased, undeservedly. If we get this confused, we will tend to lean hard into entitlement in all kinds of things, but especially regarding our salvation. Look at me, I'm so savable, so worthwhile to God, so lovable. Of course he would want to save me. Rather, as Paul writes in Romans, O wretched man that I am. When we adequately understand the great undeserved salvation we have received, we then can appropriately live out the other side of the coin, which is to be holy, different, set apart, unlike the others around me. The world around us will live for every passion and motivation other than to honor with gratitude our great God and Savior. We set aside our worldly passions because they don't honor God. We assess our thoughts and actions and seek to conduct ourselves as a reflection of the character of God. Ultimately, this works itself out in our love relationship with one another. Even when we are gracious and merciful to one another, it's still not because everyone deserves a second chance. It is because God has been gracious and merciful to us, and it is now our privilege to love from a pure heart and sincere heart those that God puts around us. This will mean that we go beyond the way the world loves, which is often just reciprocating the love we receive. We look for, or even ask God for, opportunities to express love where we wouldn't naturally love. The addict, we don't even know, but needs mercy shown to him in helping him get clean. The family member that has treated us poorly, but we consistently don't retaliate, but look for opportunities for kindness. The new people to the community or local church that we invite over or have lunch with in the park just to get to know them and welcome them into the local community of faith. And sharing the good news of God's eternal word, the gospel, with someone who does not know Christ, that they might come into this great salvation that God has so graciously brought us into. Dear Lord, the only reasonable response to your great kindness to me is to live a life of gratitude in all I say and do. Lord, I recognize I cannot do this without the power of your Holy Spirit. Please help me this day to live like I have been ransomed by your precious blood. I pray that you would give me opportunities to express your love to those around me today. In Jesus' name, amen.